As I look over this pulpit and onto this table, and as you in the pew, you look up here and you see the table and the covering, and you know that underneath there is the cup and the bread. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning that we have nothing less sitting here before us than a call to come and die. Nothing less set before you than a call, a proclamation, a beckoning for you and for me to come and die. Now, yes, it's way much more than that, but it's nothing less than that. It is nothing less than that. We see that call spelled out particularly in Romans chapter 12. So let's go to Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 2 will be our text this morning, as we have just a brief message this morning to prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper. Romans chapter 12. We see the calling particularly spelled out in verse 1. Look at it with me. It says this: "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Did you see it in there? We are to be a sacrifice unto God. But it's not a physical death that He's calling us to. Notice here, we know this because He says that we're to be a living sacrifice. So what in the world does that mean? I mean, that seems like a contradiction. A sacrifice that's living? Let's think for a moment about the imagery here. The imagery comes straight from the Old Testament, the ritual sacrifices there in the temple and previously in the tabernacle that was performed by the Levitical priesthood there. According to the law, a Jew could come and they could bring an animal, bring an offering to the priest, who would take that animal, they would slay that animal, and then they would place it on the altar in behalf of the person who brought it, right? That animal died in the place of that person, but nevertheless, it died. Sacrifices, think about this, were completely devoted to God, right? They were 100% dead to the world, and they were 100% devoted to God. It's final. There was never an animal that got up off that altar and walked out. Never. Ever, ever. They were completely given to God. That's why when the priest slew the animal, they would then place that animal on the altar and burn it. And just picture with me a moment the smoke rising from the carcass of that animal, the body, the flesh, the entrails of that animal rising up toward heaven. That imagery there was saying that this animal is going to God. It belongs to God. It's devoted to God. And you and I are to be a sacrifice just like that. Only we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. In other words, our calling from God, God's not calling here for our physical death. He's calling for our spiritual death. In other words, He's asking us to give 100%, to be 100% living to Him and dead to the world, 100% devoted to God. John MacArthur says it this way. I like the way he says it. He says, "The living sacrifice we are to offer to the Lord who died for us is the willingness to surrender to Him all our hopes, plans, and everything that's precious to us. All that is humanly important to us. All that we find fulfilling. Like Paul, we should, in a sense, die daily because we are to live. And to live is Christ." Friends, as we think about this morning, I mean, God is calling us to give ourselves completely to Him. To dedicate ourselves, to be devoted fully to God. And He's given us every reason in the world to do just that. Amen? Every reason. He created us. He was patient with us in our rebellion. He fixed His covenant love on us by choosing us for redemption and by saving us from our rebellion. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He sent His Son, His precious Son, His only begotten Son, to take on flesh and to walk in our midst and to live and to die for our penalty, for our death, for our debt, to pay for our rebellion. He not only that, He didn't wait for us to get cleansed up. The Bible says that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He called us. He brought us to salvation. He made us right with God. And the Bible says that one day He's going to bring us to complete perfection and glory with God. He's done all of that for us in Jesus Christ, simply out of love, simply out of grace, simply out of mercy. And you and I, because He's done everything for us, He deserves everything from us. That's what He deserves. Everything from us. But what does it look like to be a living sacrifice? Well, you look in the text here and it tells us that it means to be holy. Look there again at verse 1. Do you see that in verse 1? Verse 1, present your bodies a living and what, church? Holy sacrifice. Holy means to be completely separated from sin, to have nothing to do with sin. To be a living sacrifice is to be a holy sacrifice. And then verse 2 says it a little different way. It communicates holiness to us, but it says it in this way. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. My friends, that right there is a call to be holy again. He called us in verse 1 to be holy, and then in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, and that itself is a call to be holy, to be separated from the world. Listen, y'all, I mean, God has called us to be holy, which means that we have to separate from the world's ways, separate from the world's values. We got to be a bit different. Right? I mean, the world, we should look different from the world. We should act different from the world. And the world is going to call us weird. But guess what? The Bible calls us holy. The world's going to call us strange. But the Bible calls us sanctified and saved. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a fool in the eyes of the world for Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Him. And I pray that you're not either. I want to say, coming out of 2013, just some things that were happening in our country, in our world, in our media, it's clear that they're looking to shame us into silence. They want us to think that we want us to be afraid to speak out and to say what the Bible says and to love people the way the Bible would call us to love. They want to shame us into saying, that's stupid, that's backwater, that's backwoods, that's ignorant, that's ancient, that's whatever word they want to use. They want to shame you into silence. But blessed be to God, I will not be silent, and I don't believe you will be either, because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His truth. Not ashamed. We cannot be silent. We might be strange and weird and all those things, but God has called us to be a peculiar people in light of the world's values, in light of the world's dreams and all the things that they want to chase after. So we're to be a little bit weird for God. And that's okay. How are we to do this though? Our text shows us two ways this morning. Two ways. First, again, go back to verse 1 with me. Notice there in verse 1 that we are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God. But look at the phrase just before that. By the mercies of God. So let's put that phrase at the end so it fits in there really good. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God by the mercies of God. What does that mean? Guys, that means that you and I, we can never do it on our own. Never, ever, ever. If it's depending on our strength, on our own might, on our own goodness, we will never become a true living sacrifice to God. The gravity of our depravity constantly pulls us back down to the world. Constantly. You know, I don't know if you guys heard about the hoax, but I was at my father-in-law's and my brother-in-law said, hey, did you hear that on Saturday at 9:47, Jupiter and Pluto are going to align, and if you jump exactly at 9:47, you'll float for 3 seconds. Did any of y'all hear that? Okay, well good, you didn't get hoaxed. I was ready to jump, man. I was going to go outside and get my basketball out because for the first time in my life, I was going to dunk a basketball. I was so excited. I couldn't believe I'd never heard anything like this. It was a hoax though, right? Because gravity always pulls you back down. It always does. It is a law of natural science. But listen, equally as strong and equally as consistent as the law of gravity is, the same is true for the law of depravity in us, right? It, left to ourselves, we will constantly be pulled back toward sin, back toward the world. And so we need God. By the mercies of God, we're going to present ourselves a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. You see, God's mercies are the instruments that bring us to God as a living sacrifice. And so if you and I, if we're going to be a living sacrifice, we have to breathe in the mercy of God. We have to call on the mercies of God. We have to act in the mercies of God, and we have to rest in the mercies of God. That's the only way, church, that you and I will ever even come close to being a living sacrifice that's holy and not conformed to the world. So that's the first way here in the text that we see that we're to be holy by the mercies of God. But secondly, notice this. Look at verse 2. We see another way, another means for us. Verse 2 says it this way. It says, avoid conformity with the world by renewing our mind. Look at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, for you and me, the mind has to be transformed because it's naturally hostile to God and the things of God. We are born in our mindset, in our worldview, in our thinking, hostile, in enmity with God. Romans 8, 7 says it this way. It says, the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. And then notice this, for it is not even able to do so. It's not that it won't, it's it can't. The natural mind cannot be holy, cannot conform to this world. And so sin has so riddled our natural minds that in order for you and for me to live this holy life that's not conformed to the world, we have to have our mind renewed. Because you and I naturally love what God hates. This naturally, that's the mind of Ben Simpson. Naturally, I love what God hates. But I don't want the mind of Ben. I want the mind of Jesus Christ, because Jesus always loved what God loves. I want to value what Jesus valued. I want to declare what is beautiful, right, and good. What Jesus declares is beautiful, right, and good. I want to hate what He hates. I want His desires. I want His dreams. I want His motivations and His understanding and all those things. And then, as my mind is being renewed, as I begin to see the world with fresh eyes, and I have that heart that's no longer a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh that works and is functional, and a spirit that is in tune with God, been made alive with God, then I can become that living sacrifice that is holy and not conformed to this world. Friends, as you said here this morning, the Lord's Supper that is placed before you is calling you to be that living sacrifice. That's what it's doing. To spiritually die by physically living for Jesus. And so as we approach the Lord's table this morning, every one of us need to take stock of our life. Every one of us need to reflect. So let me just ask just a few questions. And I want you to search your heart and ask the Lord to search your heart. This is your opportunity to get on the right footing with God once again, and especially here at the beginning of this year. Where is your holiness? Where is your holiness? Are you as holy as you ought to be? And the answer is always no. But we're holier than at some times than we are at other times. Where is your holiness? Secondly, this morning, I want you to think about this. What do you need to be separated from? The Bible in Romans, actually it's Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, talks about sin entangling us, right? And so just as we go through life, it kind of gets on us and gets intertwined and gets caught up and tangled and all those things. And we have to regularly brush it off, tear it off, separate from it. What do you need to be separated from? And then finally, are there any places in your life that you've become conformed to the world in your thinking or your living? Are there any places where you've become conformed to the world in your thinking or in your living? The Lord's Supper, the proclamation and the presence of it this morning, is a call from God to get as close to Him as you can. You have no hope of getting close to God but except by the body and blood of Jesus. And as you come this morning, as you take stock, you say, man, I have blown it. I mean, you've got sins in your mind that you know God would have nothing to do with, and if you were to stand up and testify, it would embarrass you so badly that you wouldn't even dare breathe it out and say it. But the blood of Jesus covers that. Would you ask Him for forgiveness this morning? Would you turn to Him and refresh, renew, restore that relationship with Him? Or maybe you're here this morning and you have never, ever, ever, ever turned to Christ. You're hoping in yourself. You hope that just one day God will let you in. Or maybe you don't even believe in God this morning. Wherever you are, I invite you, in the name of Jesus, to come to Jesus and be forgiven. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He offers forgiveness to every single person who will receive it. And I beg you this morning to take the opportunity before you. You see, church, this is a call to die. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, said that he died daily. He died daily. So as you take the Lord's Supper this morning, may you die once again by devoting yourself completely to the Lord.